Do animals choose their paths?
Hello.
Sometimes. Sometimes I get reincarnated back to those that they were with in previous lifetimes.
Okay.
Being people.
So we have a question from Elizabeth.
Okay.
And she would like to know, she was attacked by practicing witches. Mm. Attacked by witchcraft. And she wants to know if there is anything in particular that you can do other than removing curses and spells, conjurations of that sort. Is there anything else that you can do to fend them off and protect yourself?
Sure.
What would those things be?
Well, if she can get anything other, like a photograph of them, mm-hmm. she can take a photograph of them, take them, and put them in a box with iodized table salt with a wooden cross on top of it, iron or silver. Close the box up, put it in the farthest reaches of the darkest space in her house, and that'll pretty much settle them down. The other thing is she can take a photograph of them and or their writing in ink and put it in the 91st Psalms of the Bible, put a cross on top of it, close the Bible up, put it underneath the bed. And or she can place them in a bell jar doing the same thing, and that'll work.
What is a bell jar?
Yeah.
It's a bell jar.
Bell-shaped jar?
Bell-shaped jar.
A glass jar, though.
Yeah, glass jar.
Are you talking about a glass jar that's got the lid?
What if she doesn't know who the people are? One thing at a time.
What if she doesn't know who the people are?
Well, in that case, she can place herself in the 91st Psalms of the Bible, a photograph of herself, and place a silver or wooden cross on top of it, close up the Bible, and that will give her protection. And she can wear a pentagram, silver pentagram, with a silver cross on her person. That will give her protection.
Okay. And just for refresher for those who may be listening in the first time, what is the significance of the pentagram?
The pentagram was delivered to Solomon by the Archangel Raphael, so that Solomon would have absolute authority over the demonic, and they would in turn assist in building the Temple of Solomon.
To piggyback off that, we have a question in from Pamela.
Okay.
She read somewhere, this is directly quoting, that evil entities that existed before the time of Christ cannot be stopped by calling on Christ because they had their power before Christianity.
Wrong.
Why is that wrong?
Because Christ he overcame all aspects of the physical plane, the material physical plane, all the way to the bowels of hell where he faced Satan, and he opened up the tunnel of light so that all could go directly into the light. It didn't matter who or what they were. Okay? With that, he overcame all aspects of evil. And his name and his reputation overcame all aspects of evil. But it couldn't be done prior to his birth.
So Christ has overcome all evil in all forms, including evil that existed before his time here on earth.
Yes. But it doesn't... It can't be used for other planetary systems, unless that has been done and reputation has been established.
And in that situation, how would you know the difference?
Well, you would use the names of God. That would apply. And the Archangel Metatron, which is the universal archangel. Good questions.
Anybody else has questions? There's more on here, so I'll keep going.
So once you receive information in regards to someone, is there a responsibility to do something with that information?
Yes.
Okay.
Always.
All right. Is it to approach the person, or do you feel that it would be more as a silent prayer for the person?
No, you have to give that information to the person. People don't understand that knowledge bears a responsibility. Mm-hmm. Like it or not, it just bears a responsibility. And if you, although you will usually be told that you have to do something. I've had a situation, I was in a restaurant where I saw two girls, and I knew that their aura was gone, I knew they were going to die. But I wasn't urged to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. Then when I do get an urging, they'll come to me, or I've never walked up to anybody. They've always come to me. I give them the information, everything around us stops. They absorb the information, and they say thank you, and then everything acts up again. Everything comes back to normal again. So with knowledge comes responsibility to give that knowledge.
And they're always accepting of that knowledge.
They always are.
Always.
It's very bizarre.
It most certainly.
And it can happen in very bizarre places. I was checking out at Walmart, and this woman who was checking me out, she said, I need help. Okay. So I did the lifting on her. And it's like everybody kind of turned a blind eye. I did the lifting on her. She cried. She thanked me. And then she just started checking me out, and everything went back to normal. It's like we had a bubble placed over us.
So it's with the urging, though, that something else, this extra knowledge, that you should do something with that. If not, what do you usually do after that, if it's emotional or something impactful on that?
I recognize that it's for my personal learning and growth, that I need to recognize that in the future should it come up again. Because I had a situation, I had a television, it was a Philips portable TV way back in the day. And I would see newscasts 3 days before they would happen. That is the wildest thing. And why am I getting these newscasts about situations that I can do nothing about?
Right.
What's the purpose? They said to me to recognize that you have the capability of getting information and that it is accurate and correct. So when you do get information and you get the urging to act on it, you will act on it. Okay. That works for me.
It was verifying that you can do it, kind of, huh? Because you knew that once it came, you saw it 3 days ahead.
No, it wasn't terrified.
No, not terrified, verifying.
Verifying, yes, absolutely. Yes.
How do you know if you've been doing things for others for too long and it's time to move on, focus on yourself? What do you know? Is that not a legitimate question?
Well, I was doing a specific kind of work where I was clearing people that had attachments to them. And I went, well, that's about all I'm going to learn from this. I would really like to move on to something else since I've learned everything I need to learn with this. And so I went to a conference, and it was a metaphysical conference, and there was a lady there who was channeling, and I asked the question, is it time for me to move on to new areas of learning and to do something different? And the being said, you've just barely skimmed the information. You will know. Needless to say, I'm still doing it.
How long ago was that?
Oh, God. 1987? Yeah.
28 years.
Yeah. So, you'll know. Yes? You started to say something.
I was making a comment. But that's a good... I get his question, but just to further on that, how long, say, if you're helping someone in particular and you continue to help them or say the lifting over them, how long?
You're only allowed to do that. Usually about 3 months. No, if they're living with you, you can do it up to about 6 months, and then you're either going to have to make them take responsibility, or you're going to have to get a clearance, since they are living with you for your own protection, you can continue doing it. If they don't live with you, you can only do it a few times, and then it's up to them to take that responsibility. Now, if you're helping someone and they're gaining and learning from that, that's fine. But if they stop and they're not learning from it, you stop.
Because you can't take responsibility for other people and their actions.
You cannot. I used to want to, because I wanted to fix everybody. They don't want to be fixed.
You offer, and if they turn you down, then that's it.
And that's fine. That's all right. It's not our job to shove our information down anyone's throat. Okay, other questions?
Okie doke. Okay, so are carnelian bracelets,
yeah,
when worn, I do need barman, when worn bead to bead on the left hand, they protect from energy loss.
Yes.
But sometimes energy loss still happens as a like even when you're wearing the carnelian bracelet in certain situations.
Like what?
What would a situation be that the carnelian would not block it?
I have not had that happen.
Question number four.
Well, I really haven't.
But if your energy is being depleted, would it be a good idea to maybe look into other situations?
Okay, all right. Let me clarify. They just brought something to my attention. I go to the VA hospital with my husband, okay? Invariably, when I go to the VA hospital with my husband, something attaches to me. They're human. I guess they're just all over the place. Now, the carnelian won't stop anyone from attaching to you. And if they attach to you, then your energy can shift dramatically. Okay? The carnelian will not be effective with that. So in that type of situation, you want to do a really quick lifting, which I do every time I go to the VA hospital.
Is there anything that can help you?
No.
To keep from people attaching to you?
No, apparently not.
That's not
Saran wrap on the back?
Tin foil?
Right.
Like a lazuli?
No. No.
Being dead.
Mountain pennyroyal actually is helpful for that, which is FES, flower essence. It keeps you from getting just completely, just totally covered up.
And what is it called?
Mountain pennyroyal. So I probably should do that every time I go to it and see how well it works. Okay.
Can I just douse myself in that?
Yeah.
In a situation like that, highly sensitive, going to a place such as a hospital, would it be beneficial to place yourself or ask the Band of Mercy to place you inside of a silver mirror?
That would be beneficial, yes.
Would that keep?
Don't know. It would definitely be beneficial.
Okay.
And there are energies, not just people, mm-hmm. but there are energies, traumas that get left in places and hospitals and houses. And you can be hit by those traumas, and that is just awful.
On the road while you're driving.
On the road, yeah. So, I mean, the carnelian will not protect you from that. They will protect you when you go to malls or that sort of thing. They keep you from being...
Inbound.
Yeah.
Walmart.
Beat up. But I did have an interesting situation, and it wouldn't be a bad idea to carry a hematite with you. Hmm. Because I had a situation where I went to a rock show. And
rock show like stones or rock show like the Rolling Stones?
Stones. Rock stones. Let's clarify that. Although the other might work too. I don't know. But there was this gorgeous pendant in silver, and it was a slice of a meteor, of a meteor, and it was kind of clear with circles in it, and I thought, how interesting. I wonder what that feels like. Zzz. Oh my God. It knocked me down. I couldn't move. I couldn't function. All I could do was they had to carry me, put me in a chair, because I could not function. They got it out of my hand, thank God. They didn't know who I was, or maybe they did. I don't know. Who cares? It was this weird woman that's been knocked down virtually by this stone. And this woman walks up to me and she said, I think this might help you. And she handed me a hematite. And I just went, okay, I'm back.
Wow.
So you might want to carry it with you.
Can you wear a hematite ring?
You can.
Because I have one.
As a matter of fact, I have some little round hematite.
Some too.
Yeah.
Is that the magnetic ring?
Yep. Well, they're magnetic if you put them to a magnet. They're not if you don't. Once you magnetize them, they stay magnetized. You did not know that, did you?
Well, because mine's sticking on my washing machine.
Magnetized.
It just hangs out on the little side.
I think those are all magnetized. But it really came in handy.
Is that the only meteorite you've come in contact with?
Yes. So. Never again.
I just wondered if it was something about that particular one or if any of them would do that. So that's why.
She didn't want to find out.
I'm not trying it. I don't know. No, y'all can do whatever you want.
Remind me later. I'll tell you a dream I had.
That just...
About a meteorite.
It really knocked me really bad. It was bad. And my friend went off and shopped.
Bye.
Oh, who is that lady I'm following?
A lot of money for meteorites.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Millions of dollars.
Yes.
Yeah. They can have them.
Can I go back to the question that she asked earlier about Jesus and other beings from other dimensions or aliens from other worlds?
Dimensions, Christ still works.
Okay. So, for example, Jesus opened up the tunnel of light for us to be able to go
to heaven.
But what about alien beings? Are they in a different... is there a heaven for them when they die, or how does that work?
That's a good question. Each planet has their own dimensions and heaven.
Hmm. Okay.
So... let's say we get really brilliant and we go to another planet, like Mars.
That's what I was.
And we die on Mars. What do you think is going to happen to us?
You don't get to come back here.
You don't get to come back here.
Wow.
You get to reincarnate as a bacteria.
Or whatever.
Is it the same God?
Of course it's the same
God.
But
just a different heaven.
Different heaven. For that planet.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too. I used to think it was like a blanket heaven, because it made sense to me. Then I found out that there are like dimensions. Each planet has their dimensions, and that 10th dimension is their heaven. Well, actually, okay, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 dimensions, or heavens, levels of heaven.
Is the light opened up in each?
The light goes through the fourth dimension, into the third dimension, into the fifth.
But for all planets?
Not unless they had a Christ.
Okay.
So they would have had to have a Christ to have that.
Yes.
So dying on Mars might be a really bad thing.
Yeah, it really would. Talk about aliens.
If you're thinking about going to Mars, you should probably consult Carol Pate first. Thank you. PSA.
Yeah, I don't recommend going to another planet on a one-way trip.
And there are people
lining up to do
it.
It's interesting because they're, you know, bringing up the idea to build a space station on Mars, and they have a group of people willing to go.
On a one-way trip, I know.
What if they brought the body back to Earth?
It's where you die.
Okay.
Yes. You were going to ask something?
I was just wondering if you've reconciled reincarnation with the Bible.
Oh, absolutely. Not a problem. No. The Sadducees, I can't remember which one. Sadducees or the Pharisees believed in reincarnation. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, in the Catholic dictionary, or no, encyclopedia, it was believed, it was open that reincarnation was accepted. I don't know if that's been changed or not, but it was accepted. And as a matter of fact, there's some areas where I think it was the Pharisees, they go up to Christ and ask him if he was the reincarnation of Isaiah. And he said no, he was not. John the Baptist was.
Yeah. So the reincarnation of
Isaiah. I believe that's what it was. So we'll find out.
I have fact checked the Romans verse. I have not fact checked that one.
So, and there's another one. But you know, Revelations is kind of questionable as to who authored it, per se, but there's a verse, let's see, it's chapter 3, verse 12. He who has overcome, will he go out no more? Pretty good indicator. But yeah, it's sprinkled throughout, and there were a lot of references to reincarnation that were taken out of the Bible. In the 14th, was it the 14th century?
During the Crusades?
No, this was Justinian, King Justinian. Took out many references to reincarnation out of the Bible and took many, many gospels out of the Bible because he apparently didn't want people to think that they could equal him in another incarnation or be a king.
And I've read some from different resources that the Catholic Church actually taught the concept of reincarnation until about 300 or 400 AD when it was taken out because the kings didn't like it and because they didn't
want the information. You've got a lot of political.
Wouldn't work for them.
So yeah, it reconciled very well for me after I read all the history of the Bible. If you really want to get into something, read and explore the history of the Bible. It will blow you out of the water.
What's a good book for that?
I've got one over here. It's called The Other Bible. I really like the book. It was my first reference book to exploring the history of the Bible. But now you can Google. You can get on there and just find out all you need. And then you have to figure out which Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
'Cause they change. And which king was, you know, it's like King James. He changed the Bible.
Yes. So and then you have the Catholic version. You have the Orthodox version.
Yeah. And then you've got the Greek. And
yeah, the Greek was, yeah, the Greeks have more than chapters in theirs.
And even you get into English, you've got the English Standard Version and the New International English Version. And
yes.
So they've been changed around so many times. I got mine direct. And then they'd reference me. It's just easier that way. The Holy Spirit, I trust.
Okay. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, do you have an altar at which you pray?
What?
No, I do not. I do not have an altar that I pray to. I pray directly to God in the name of my Lord and Master Jesus Christ.
And you have appropriate hand placements, don't you? Depending on if you're praying for yourself, for others.
Yes.
If you're doing healing prayers.
Yes, absolutely.
How did you find out about those hand placements?
They taught me.
And what do the different hand placements signify?
Your hands, the palms of your hands, are receiving and giving of energy. Okay? When you open your hands to pray, you're opening yourself to God to send the energy of the words of prayer through you to God. Okay? You don't close like this. That means they told me that's closing yourself off. When you put your two hands together, you're shutting yourself off. This opens you up for receiving and sending. Now, when I do prayer healing work, I put my hands towards the area that needs the healing. If it's towards myself, my palms are towards myself. Or if I'm calling something from, like, energy of injury, pain, and trauma, I would have my palms towards the area that had the injury, pain, and trauma.
We're jumping around a little bit here.
That's fine.
But this is the last one on this one. Okay, so if there is, say, a child who is your patient in whatever capacity, be it, you know, your medical doctor or psychologist.
Okay.
And they're under the age of 13, so they're under the age of spiritual consent, and they have two bad eggs for parents.
They have what?
Two bad eggs for parents.
That happens a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Why would you need their permission to pray for the child?
No.
And why would that be?
Because that child would be under your authority for whatever it happens to be.
So you're a therapist.
If you're a therapist,
doctor,
they're under your authority. If you're a doctor, they're under your authority. And that parents have given over that authority, whether they liked it or not.
Mm-hmm. They brought you to heal them. Brought to you.
You can take this a step farther. Let's say you're the director of nursing for a floor. You have authority to pray for anybody that's under your authority, that entire floor.
Can that go for teachers also, your classroom?
For your classroom, yes, absolutely.
Or a principal can pray for a whole school.
Principal can pray for the whole school, you bet. That's the beauty of this.
Are there any limitations? For example, would you be limited to praying for things that would, like while they're under, like while they're at work? If you're a nurse, would you only be allowed to pray for them while they're at work?
Yes.
So that it would have to be something that was done at the beginning of the shift?
Yes. You could ask that they be removed from them while they're at the work. You can't take them. Now, if it's a patient, you could actually clear the patient. Mm-hmm. But the nursing staff, you could clear them while they were at work and whatever time they worked there.
Okay. Now, say they weren't a patient.
Okay.
In the situation that you've got two bad egg parents, why would their permission still be needed even if they're not displaying the best decision-making choices?
Now, are we speaking as... we have authority over the child?
We're speaking as you encounter a kid.
Okay.
What if the kid who's under the age of spiritual consent comes up and asks for help, and they're two bad egg parents?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Where the parents are not going to give consent.
You can't do anything. There are spiritual laws. You just can't. You can't. Unless they're under your authority for whatever reason, you can do nothing.
Okay.
Which is, I know because I tried.
Why is that still into place?
Spiritual law. The parents have spiritual authority over the child until the child comes into their spiritual consent at the age of 13. It's on their birthday. At that point, the parents no longer have spiritual authority over that child.
Going back to the patient-doctor situation, just for clarity, would a patient have to be under the age of 13 before, or even as an older patient, would the doctor still be able to pray?
Yes.
And,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What about placing angels around people?
You don't have the authority. Unless you know how to do that, you don't have the authority.
I've always felt that the Holy Spirit hears. If you're a receptor for good things, the Holy
it's
Spirit
nice.
Is kind of... like,
you have to know how to do it. How would you place...
I don't think of it as placing. It's more like...
How would you place, or how would you call into effect... angelics, and which angelics would you call into effect?
Really, when things like this have happened, it's been more like what you were describing, where it is, you know, something that I'm not ever going to encounter this person again. It's just something that touched my heart, and I was like basically, I just asked the Holy Spirit, you know, this, I saw something, and I'm passing it along, and letting the Holy Spirit know, like, hey, there's something here that needs attention.
and just please, like, I'm basically just praying my good intention or something like that.
It's nice. But it won't be effective. Number one, you have to have their permission to intercede for them. There are spiritual laws in effect, and we can't intervene in people's paths, good, bad, or otherwise. We may have the greatest intent in the world, but it may be that that person has to go through this terrible thing to learn their lesson, and we can't play God. So we can't call into effect anything for anyone. We can pray that they be shown the light, if it's appropriate. We can pray for a lot of things if it's appropriate, but we don't have the authority, even through the Holy Spirit, to send angels to help them. You have to know, you have to be spiritually knowledgeable in order to call into effect how to call upon the angelics. And which angelics do you call upon?
I totally worded that wrong. I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, it was good. I understand where you're coming from with it, and I understand your intent and motive, which is extremely good, but you need to become more knowledgeable with that, because you can accidentally break spiritual law, and you can cause some hardship for yourself, because I've done it. That's how I know. I was in New Orleans, and there was this poor man. And he was talking to himself, you know, and he was just not okay. And I've got a little bit of spiritual knowledge, which goes a long ways, let me tell you, about like there. And I'm calling upon the Holy Spirit to help him, to ask the band of mercy to help him. And they're going, you can't do that. Well, why not? Because he has free will. He's a creation by God, of God. You can't intercede for him. And I went, okay. My intent and motive was great. But we can't break spiritual laws. Now you can if you see an accident, if you know who to call upon. Like you see an accident on the side of the road and you know there are people dead. You can say, if it is appropriate, through God, I would ask the band of mercy to assist in whatever ways are deemed appropriate in the name of Jesus Christ. And that can help them get into the light. Can't guarantee it, but it can help. We're just not knowledgeable.
Or if, for example, you can't get permission to pray for somebody who's passed, you could ask if it was appropriate that they be made aware of the light.
Yes. You can do those kinds of, but you have to be really cautious in your wording. Because words are power. They truly are power.
Can you just say, if you see the light, go there?
If you're talking directly to a spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're talking directly to a spirit, you can say, look for a bright white light.
And that's okay to do that?
I did that a lot before I ever knew anything.
Okay.
And it worked. Yeah, absolutely. But you just have to be cautious that you don't trample on somebody's free will or their path. Not a good thing.
Well, especially if they die suddenly, they may not realize what's going on.
They don't. They rarely ever do.
And that's why I did it.
It's okay. As long as you do it appropriately. And I have one lady. I love her to death. She's just as good as she can be. She doesn't feel anything, she doesn't see anything, she doesn't hear anything, and she's convinced that she helps people go into the light. And that's what she does. She works every day, a specific time, her and her friends, and they send people into the light. They don't see anything, they don't hear anything, they don't feel anything.
You think one gets there ever so often?
I don't know, I have no idea. I don't know. Her motives and agenda are excellent, really and truly excellent, but that's what she does. As you're growing spiritually, I heard that's going to require water.
Mm-hmm. What's going to require water? My jug?
Yeah.
Huh?
your body.
But you need to be cautious with it. Make sure it's living water and not purified.
So would you explain that?
That was a little tidbit directly for me.
It was.
But it would be good for everybody else, right?
Yeah. Well, as you go, when you do a lot of spiritual work, or you're in the midst of a lot of spiritual growth, and you're growing very rapidly, you have this
unquenching thirst.
You have this unquenching thirst. It's actually for knowledge, but your body also has an unquenching thirst for nurturing.
Get it out.
We can
do this.
We believe in you. For water. How do you nurse water? Okay.
So tap water.
No.
Tap water is purified.
You need actually living water.
Spring water?
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
So what about well water?
Well, yeah. If it doesn't have too much iron or sulfur or something. Mm-hmm. If it's good, yeah, that's living water. Absolutely.
I've got a structure unit on my house, which structures the water.
Well, you can do it yourself, you know, doing this. I need to teach you that. You need to know how to do that.
The water purification formula?
Yeah, do the water purification. You can't do it through plastic, though.
Oh. Question.
Could you place your hands over?
Could you?
Well, yeah, you might be able to do it.
It's a very small hole for a lot of water.
Yeah. It really works better with your hand on either side in a glass beaker or whatever the case may be. Or if it's a larger, you could do it that way.
If I've been drinking tap water, and that would explain why I've been drinking so much of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. If it is purified, it's not going to quench that
purified,
thirst.
Purified, it's not going to, no.
Okay.
It needs to be spring water. Living water.
What makes water living?
Natural.
So
not purified, not
natural
run
spring
through.
Water.
Yeah. So or distilled. Distilled will do you no good whatsoever.
So we'll take in,
I mean, it'll help, but it
it's tap water and doing the purification.
Yeah.
Living livify it.
That's good.
Yeah. Energy and consciousness of DNA, RNA, and water. I call the fourth through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, come forth. Energy and consciousness of DNA, RNA, and water, I call thee forth through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I release thee and unbind thee from all negativity and impurities. Turn thee from negative to positive and restore thee back to the state that God originally intended thee to be. And repeat that.
Is that on the website?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And that last part is why it turns the tap water into.
Yeah. And then really weird, because I did it with a beacon of water, and the water turned cold and it fogged.
Yeah, but you've got lots of authority.
Yes, I do, but this was early on. This was in the beginning stages of my authority.
Is a pitcher okay? Is
yeah.
It? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if maybe it needed to be without.
This was in 1987. This was at the beginning of my authority. So it doesn't require much authority to do this. It does require belief. Although I have belief in God, but I didn't have a lot of belief in me. I had to develop belief in me. I was like you guys, who am I to do this?
Is that one of those things you only have to believe while you're doing it?
Yes. Yep, you're only required to believe it as you do it. And you can taste it before and after, and you'll see a distinct change. It's cool. It's fun. It's neat.
Mm-hmm. What kills tap water is the 90-degree turns. And plumbing, it's not natural. Nowhere.
And fluoride.
Is that not right?
And everything else.
The 90-degree turns.
Yeah.
Recycled poop. Just saying. I won't drink it.
And everything else.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
Well, I appreciate a little tidbit about the water. I'm good on questions. The world is your oyster, Carol.
Oh, well, I was going to answer that question. I don't remember. Did you pose it to me about knowledge? Someone had posed the question about, what do you do when you have knowledge? How do you deal with knowledge? Wasn't that on there a while back?
No, no,
no,
Romeo.
No, I know, but this was the last time.
I don't remember that one.
It didn't get asked, but she brought it up to me.
How do you...
It was on the webpage, I think.
Are we 100% sure that we actually had this conversation?
No. I'm not 100% sure.
Me either.
Well, you looked that up. I have a question about tithes, tithing, giving 10%. Is it something that's beneficial, something that's voluntary, or should be voluntary, or should be done?
Okay, number one, God does not need money.
Okay,
okay. Yeah. Let's square that one away. If you believe in what you are tithing to, that good things will come from that, then you do it. If you believe that if you tithe to a church or to God, you will get back threefold or tenfold, do not do it. You're doing it for all the wrong reasons. And there's been a lot of ministers out there that have run that con.
So you believe, as long as you believe you're doing it for the greater good, it's okay. That's what you're doing.
Yes.
For.
If you truly believe that you believe in what the church is doing or what the pastor is teaching or what is correct and it feels right to you, you do it. If you do not, you don't. And you never do it for the purpose of getting back, getting anything back. That's like gambling. And God doesn't need it. God has all the resources available.
But they need it to build big, pretty churches.
Those ministers
they
got
do.
It.
Yeah. They do.
Think about all the people they could have helped with all these
That's
crazy
what I think about
churches.
Every time.
That's what I think about.
Yep. Well, there you go. See, that always bothered me.
Me
when
too.
I drive by that big church, I go, look at all that money.
Wow. Yeah, and
could
I'm sorry, it should,
yeah.
It should be helping
I
people.
I see sod getting laid in a at a church yard. And what's wrong with the seed and the rain and the sunshine God gives
I went to Mexico, and I saw people on their knees crawling to bring whatever they could to the church. In the way of their most important or valuable objects to put in the church. And their knees were bleeding. And I thought, my God, the church should be doing that for them, not them for the church.
It's messed up.
Oh, that's where my belief system is.
On that note, we had discussed that show AD.
Yeah.
Where...
I didn't say it's 100%.
Right. Well, I want to ask you about the specific thing, is when there was the couple that had a lot, they were very wealthy, and they said that they gave everything.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Explain about that, because...
They wanted something in return.
That is why.
That's why.
Okay.
They didn't give everything, but they claimed they did.
Right.
Because they wanted something in return. They wanted a higher position, higher echelon. You can't do it for that reason. It was like Simon. He got baptized so he could do magic.
Right. Right.
Now can I go heal?
Right.
You can't do this for your personal benefit of ego.
Your knee's gonna kill you.
It had nothing to do with them not giving everything.
No.
It had to do with the reasons
their
behind.
Their reason behind it, absolutely. Yeah. It just floors me.
Intent.
Everything's
There's
in,
that word again.
Well, evil.
What's in the intent, Carol?
Evil's in the intent.
What?
Evil is in the intent.
Oh, it can be, I guess.
It is always. What is your intent? That's where evil lies. If you have evil intent, I asked them, I said, what is evil? I asked my guides, what's evil? They said, it's in the intent.
But you can have good intentions, too.
Of course you can have good intentions.
But if you have...
It's not intention, not the word. It's in the intent.
If you have the evil intent, what your action is evil.
Yes.
I asked my first husband one time if he ever prayed, and he says,
no, does it work?
Promise. I gave up after that. No, does it work? What's in it for me?
Yeah. Oh, that's the way it is with a lot of people. That I've had people, they want to do the work, but they expected something out of it. They expected gifts out of it. And then got disappointed because they didn't get gifts. You can't do this work for gifts. You can't do it for anything other than this is what you do for God, for you, for mankind. And it's about, if you want the gift, it's your gift of evolvement. That's a huge gift. The gift of evolvement, of knowledge. Getting knowledge for you? No. Although it helps you to know when there's a trap and when there isn't. Because dark side sets traps for people with good intentions.
Yep.
Big traps. I know, they told me. And if you understand how the spiritual laws work, you can be okay. You can help others to be okay. You can learn the patterns. Learn the laws. Learn the names of God. Learn how to call upon the angelics. And who to call upon. And what their duties are.
Is that in that book that you... The Angel Bible.
Yeah,
the Angel Dictionary.
Yeah, Dictionary of Angels.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gives the angelics and it gives what their duties are. It's about as close to knowledge, truth. Although, I think the Keys of Enoch really have a lot of information in it on that level.
If you can read it. Sometimes,
well,
sometimes you open it and you're like, I think this is in Latin.
If you're ready, you'll understand. If you're not, it's gobbledygook. I had it given to me, and it took me 4 years before I could open it up and understand it. And then when I did, I absolutely understood it.
I can usually get through like a paragraph or like a section at a time, and then I try to flip the page, and I'm like, back to Latin.
It's kind of like what they say about when you're dealing with a child. Give them the information. They'll understand it when it's time for them to understand it.
Yes. Yeah.
You can't teach them too much because they're only going to learn what they need to learn.
Well, you have to be cautious because you have to teach them according to the questions that they ask.
Right.
If you give them over and above the questions that they ask, it sails right over their
head. They shut down.
Yeah, and my guides told me, they taught me, we are teaching you as a child.
Exactly.
We will teach you, we will give you knowledge, we will give you information as you are ready for it by the questions that you ask.
And if you don't word that question just right,
you don't get the knowledge. And they still do it. They do. I have teachers come through and they'll say, what are your questions? I'll go, I don't know. Don't have a clue. I don't know.
Is it not your time to ask those questions then?
Apparently not. Apparently I have to get more knowledgeable in order to ask the question.
That you need to know.
Yeah. And that's what happens. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. But the whole process is a learning process anyway. Try not to get too wrapped up in human theories.
Can I ask a question about, I'm, you know, new to the asking your guides for help and things like that.
Most of them are.
So I was asking a question in relation to my career and should I pursue this, and I asked if it was the appropriate thing to do, you know. And so what I heard, and not with my ear,
yeah,
but I heard, and it did seem to be coming from the right side, you know, I just heard yes, 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 over and over, but how do you know if that's that what you're thinking or if that's...
It may not have been your guide.
Okay.
The problem is this. Spirits can speak to you from the right, the left, front, behind, or in your head. Mm-hmm. So you don't know for sure.
Right.
And even spirits who are bound into dark service, human spirits,
they also can do the same thing. So, number one, your guides will not tell you what path to take.
Oh, okay.
Period. They make you use your free will. Free will is a very important thing. That's why we cannot trample on other people's free will. So, you can say, I would please ask that if this path is not to my highest good and all involved, then it be shut down, absolute. And that the path that is right for me be opened up. You're allowed that cheat.
Okay.
That's about the only cheat you really get. You're allowed that cheat. And it has to be under semi-critical circumstances.
Well, what are the rules then for asking your guides? What's not okay?
You are supposed to ask your guides spiritual questions, not to make your personal decisions. Not to make your material personal decisions. That's where your free will has to enter in, according to what you've learned today.
So what if you're stuck and you need guidance?
Ask them to give you a word to get you into the right direction. That's what I do. They will not tell me what to do. I'd love for them to tell me what to do. I mean, wouldn't that be so much easier?
That'd be so easy.
Yeah. Well, where should I go today? And
can you ask to help gain the knowledge to make the right decision?
Sure you can. Ask to come painlessly or as painlessly as possible.
Good point. Very good point.
You kind of see that we got this free will stuff going on. You really have to get serious with that. Your guides are there to teach you spiritual information. Okay? They are the Holy Spirits. They're not your ancestors. They're not your buddy. They're not your Uncle Joe. They are Holy Spirit. Okay? They are not human. They are sent direct from God to teach us, to comfort us. Now, they will tell you why somebody is doing what they're doing. That can be invaluable. Now, what do I mean?
Yeah.
What I mean by that. Let's say you've had this falling out with this person, and you don't know what is going on. Why is this happening? Why are they doing what they're doing? You can ask them and they will tell you why this has happened. It's not a judgmental, it's pure information. It gives you insight as to where they're coming from. And I'm telling you, it is very helpful. Like, I want to know why my sister is being the idiot that she's being.
You can word it that way?
Yes.
Why, oh, why?
Yeah. And they'll say, well, this is da-da-da, she's, and they'll tell you, and they'll give you the in-depth psychological on it. And you go, oh my God, okay, thank you. It's never what you think. They're not going to come back, well, she's a jerk.
Well, according to the DSM-4.
But they will actually tell you the reason. I'm telling you, my husband would not be here otherwise.
Would you have killed him?
But you can ask for guides at particular things to help you.
And yes, you can. But those are human guides.
Human guides.
You can ask for guides of music.
I do finding things a
lot. No, for finding. Ask your guardian angel to assist you in finding whatever it is that you've lost in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank thee, within a half an hour you should find it.
So your guardian angel is a human angel?
No, they're an angel.
So
there's no human angels. I know.
As lovely of a thought as that is.
Did you say I know too?
Pardon?
You just said I know. Like Carol. You were talking to somebody.
Carol, she wants me to quit.
It's break time. It's like, okay, well, what?
On that note, shall we break?
Yeah, we're going to break.
Break time.
All right, time.